And let somebody shout hallelujah.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the man of all, His mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, praise His holy name.
Network Television, Pastor E.A. Adebuyi, delivering the word with passion and power.
shout hallelujah. I am confident of one thing, that there is someone here today, this will be the beginning of your joy. Now, if you are that one, you are the only one to shout hallelujah now. All right. Now, that's better. Let us pray. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve.
To bless your holy name. Thank you because you are the Almighty. There's no one like you. You are greater than the greatest. You are better than the best. You are holier than the holiest. You are richer than the richest. You are wiser than the wisest. You are older than the oldest. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Thank you for a day like this. Thank you for the great things you have already done. Thank you for the great things you will do today. Thank you because our tomorrow will be all right. Amen. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, my God, I'm committing all your children who are here today into your hands. In a very special way, visit them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In such a way that they will never forget this day. Father, visit them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let somebody shout another hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Well, shake hands with one or two people and say, good afternoon, God bless you. Amen. Psalm 24, from verse 7 to 10. Psalm 24, from verse 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I believe the Almighty God that today the King of glory will come into your home.
Yeah.
If you don't say amen, then I will stop praying for you.
Yeah.
The King of glory will come to your life.
Yeah.
The King of glory will come and dwell with you. When we talk about the King of glory coming, the crucial word here is the word glory. And what is glory? Glory is something that is very difficult to define, except that you want to call it shining beauty. One of the reasons why the angels in heaven have to cover their faces with two of their wings is because the glory of God is so mighty that if they don't cover their faces with their wings, they will go blind. One of the reasons why when Moses said to God, show me your glory, God said, no man sees my glory and lives, is because of the tremendous power that is in that glory. But probably one of the best ways of defining glory is to define what glory is not. So if you know what glory is not, then you will know what glory is. One of the major things that you could call the opposite of glory is shame. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35, Proverbs 3, verse 35, the Bible says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, the opposite of wise is foolish. And so the opposite of glory is shame. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now, we all know what shame is. That one is quite easy. Shame is a problem that is in your life that cannot really be hidden. It's when your secrets that you don't want anybody to know becomes known. Or when you have a secret that cannot even be hid, then you go about with the shame. I mean, for example, when you consider Mark chapter 10 from verse 46 to 52, Mark 10, 46 to 52, the Bible talks about Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and he was sitting by the highway side begging. So here is a man who has a well-known father, and he was blind and a beggar. That's why when he began to talk, people, when he began to cry to Jesus Christ, he said, you shut up, you shameless fellow. Don't you know it's not people like you that we want to see in society? And almost invariably, when a man has a problem that he has is what the world wants to use to describe him. Today, more than 2,000 years after Bartimaeus' eyes were opened, when people want to talk about Bartimaeus, they still call him blind Bartimaeus. They refuse to forget the fact that his eyes have been opened. When they want to describe you, don't you know that sister who by now should be married and is still living with the parents? Don't you know that man with the crooked nose? That's what human beings want to use to describe you. But I have good news for somebody here today. Everything that is called shame in your life is disappearing this morning. Because the Almighty God promised in Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 27, Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 27, he said, I will restore. And because I will restore, he said two times in those three verses, he said that my people shall not be ashamed. Tell your neighbor, shame is leaving me today. We had a program at the National Stadium, a Holy Ghost service at National Stadium several years ago. And there was a man there who had a big goiter. And you know, if anybody has a goiter, there's no way you can hide it. you can't put your tie over the goiter. Your brother won't cover it. So the moment you are coming, that's the first thing everybody will see. And so this man was sitting somewhere in the stadium when the program was on, and God spoke to me and said, there is somebody here with a very big growth in his neck, and that the growth has gone. Now, the sister who was sitting next to him, because as soon as the man was sitting, you can be sure the sister looked at the goiter first before even looking at the man, turned to see. And like a bird, the goiter had flown away. The lady was so shaken by the miracle. She wasn't the one who got the miracle, just the fact that she was sitting next to the one who got the miracle, that after the program, she walked from Surulere to Palm Grove before she remembered that she parked her car at the stadium. That kind of miracle that will frighten your neighbors, the Almighty God will give you one today. Another thing that is the opposite of glory, which is very closely related to shame, is reproach. A reproach is that thing in your life which does not allow your joy to be full. You know, you say everything is all right except one thing. My joy would have been full if only I got this one done. When you read 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 to 14, it tells us the story of a man called Naaman. The Bible said he was successful. The Bible said he was popular. The Bible said he was honorable. But he was a leper. Just one reproach, and it reduced everything to nothing. Of what use of is the man who is a general, who is famous, who is rich, who is worthy, but he couldn't embrace his children? There are some of us, you know, reproaches, many a times you can cover with cloth. That's the difference between reproach and shame. There are many of us who are gaily dressed, but under the dress, there's one little fire that is burning. I have good news for you today, because you came. That reproach that is in your life will disappear. Because when the King of Glory moved into the life of Naaman, his skin became like that of a small baby. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 10, John 10, verse 10, he said, even though the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I will tell you another story. We had another Holy Ghost service at the National State, at the stadium, whatever name they call it, in Ibadan. And we had a wonderful time. Miracles, signs, wonders, salvation, etc., etc. And just as I was rounding up to begin to go home, I heard God say clearly that there was a woman in the crowd who in her armpits, instead of ordinary hair, it is feathers that grow. That if she will come forward, God said, he will set her free. Now, I had to say to the Almighty God, I said, Daddy, I know you are the one talking, but please, let's go home now. We've had a wonderful time. I know where if you say somebody is there with that problem, the fellow must be there. You don't lie. But who is going to come out with that kind of problem? In the public glare, you know, in the stadium, cameramen, everything, And if I say that fellow should come out and this fellow does not come out, they will say I'm a false prophet. Daddy, we have had a wonderful night. Let's go home now. And the Lord said, you want her to die with a problem? I said, no. So I made the announcement. And the woman came forward. When she was coming, I thought maybe she didn't even hear what I said, or maybe she's not correct upstairs. Because, I mean, if you have that kind of problem, you don't want to come out. But after the Almighty God set her free and it was time for testimony, and she began to speak, we found that she was speaking Queen's English. Highly educated woman, highly polished woman, with a problem that she could not share with anyone. He said all her marital life, very early in the morning, before the husband will wake up, she will wake up and pluck out the feathers. She had that reproach that nobody knew anything about except herself and God. You might have a problem that you can't even share with your pastor. I have good news for you today. In that name that's above every other name, whatever remains that is not allowing your joy to be full will disappear today. Another thing, of course, that you can associate that's the opposite, with the opposite of glory is failure. You've never found someone who failed, who lifted up his head high and said, come and look at a failure. No. Failure is the opposite of glory. You've
Never seen a student who failed the exam who comes home rejoicing and say, "Daddy, come and see my result." It's most likely that he will come in and shut himself in his room, not able to face the people. When you read Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, Luke 5, verse 1 to 7, you find the story of a man who tried very hard and yet failed. Bible said Peter fished all night and caught nothing. And you know, as far as the world is concerned, they don't want to know how much effort you have made. They want to see results. It's the results you produce that will show them that you are a success. If you don't have results, then you are a failure. I mean, I remember those days when I was a postgraduate student at the University of Lagos. For 18 months, I've been working on a problem. In mathematics, if you want a PhD, you solve a problem nobody had ever solved before. Then you get a PhD. Now, because it's a problem nobody has solved before, nobody knows whether it has a solution or not. And I've been working on this problem for 18 months. And I got to a stage where I could neither go forward, and I am not thinking of going backward, because if I say I pick another problem, that means 18 months of work is wasted. And that means that I'm picking another problem that I don't even know whether it also has a solution. When you say somebody failed, it's not that he didn't try. It is that he tried and somehow didn't get results. And there are quite a few of us here who could relate to that one. You've been working very hard, much harder than some people now who are far ahead of you, but you haven't got results. I have good news for you. From now on, you will get results. Because the Lord said in Philippians 4 verse 13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." See, when the King of Glory comes in, all of a sudden, your failure becomes success. A total failure can become an overnight success. I've always told, I don't want to tell my own story, but you, I might as well tell you, finish that one that I've already started. I got to a stage where I have 186 simultaneous equations. And I don't even know now, what do I do? How do I proceed? And those of you who did any mathematics at all, you know when simultaneous equations become three, and they are no longer easy to handle. Some of you can't even handle two. So when I had 186, I said, "Lord, well," and I've been looking at the thing, I've been studying, I've been doing everything. Then one evening, I just got fed up. I said, "No, I'm going to sleep." And I just pushed it aside, took my Bible to do a little bit of Bible study before I sleep. And I was just found myself studying the crossing of the Red Sea. When suddenly I heard God say, "That's the solution to your problem. Can the crossing of the Red Sea in the time of Moses be the solution to a PhD problem of the University of Lagos in 1973? And the Lord said, "Go and bring your problems. Bring the equations." God will speak to somebody here today. And he said, "Put this one on the left, put this one on the right, put this one on the left, put this one on the right." And before I knew it, I had separated the equations into two batches. And when I looked at the ones on the left, they had something in common, which I didn't see before. I looked at the one on the right, they had something in common. And the Lord said, "Solve the one on the left together, the one on the right together, and then bring the thing together." He said, "That's what happened at the crossing of the Red Sea. The sea parted, the children of Israel passed through, and the sea came together again." That problem that has been causing you to fail will get a solution today. Another thing that is likely to live the life of someone today as the King of Glory comes in is that thing that is also the opposite of glory, and that is called defeat. Now, the difference between failure and defeat is that in the case of failure, you struggled on your own and failed. In the case of defeat, you failed because of enemy action. because an adversary resisted you, because you tried your best, but somebody stronger than you knocked you down. And you have never seen anyone who is defeated who comes home rejoicing. I mean, when our football team, the Green Eagles, when they go to play abroad and they win, everybody will know when they are returning. You go and meet them at the airport, and they will drive through the streets of Lagos singing. When they lose, the sneaking, they will already be back home before anybody knew what was coming. It is a terrible thing to be defeated. I mean, when you read Joshua chapter 7 and take it from verse 1 to 6, Joshua 7 verse 1 to 6, you see an example there. When Joshua defeated Jericho, he said it was Ai. But when they were defeated at a small city called Ai, the Bible said he fell on his face. Anybody who is defeated doesn't lift up his head. But I have good news for someone who has been defeated. Someone who is where he or she is today because of the action of the enemies, people who refuse to allow you to move forward. I have good news for you. The King of Glory is also called the Lord of Hosts, and he has never lost a battle. And when the King of Glory moves into your life, then all your enemies are in trouble because he will deal with them. So I have good news for somebody who is under a defeat now. Beginning from today, you will not be defeated again. Some of you have heard me share the story of a woman who came to us and says, I need help. I'm married. I have 4 children. But then there's a woman in the life of my husband that I have done everything possible to separate my husband from her, but she won the battle. She defeated me. My husband has packed out of the house to go and live with her. And this woman has 5 children for 5 different men. She said, I've done everything I could. Now, unless God helps me, the battle is over. So I said, no problem. We will invite the Lord of Hosts. He will step into the situation. I said, your husband will come and beg you. She said, that's not what we are talking about, Daddy. I will beg him. Just let him come back. I said, no. He will come and beg you. And I'm saying to somebody here today, all those people who have been fighting against you, they come and bow down before you. Anyway, so we prayed a simple prayer. And I asked the Almighty God to start a quarrel between the strange woman and the husband of this daughter of his, a quarrel that nobody would be able to settle. And it wasn't long after that the quarrel started. And the strange woman said to the man, he said, don't you know your head is not correct? He said, because if your head is correct, how could you leave 4 children at home and come and stay with a woman with 5 children, and none of the children is yours? Don't you know your head is not correct? The man said, that is true. And he packed all his clothes and knocked at the door of his house. The wife opened the door and the man prostrated and said, please take me back. The woman said, you are more than welcome. Every defeat in your life will be changed to victory in Jesus' name. Of course, another thing that is the opposite of glory is frustration. Now, frustration comes as a result of trying and failing. It comes as a result of seeking help, and instead of the help helping, they made the matter worse. Frustration comes when you turn to the right and you can't see help there anymore. Turn left, nobody to help. Back, forward, you just feel frustrated. That is the example we see in Mark chapter 5, from verse 25 to 34. Mark 5, from verse 25 to 34. It talks about a woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said this woman spent all she had on physicians. Kept on bleeding. And she went to the hospital. The first doctor said, no, I can't do it. Just bring sober. She gave the money. And instead of the blood stopping, it becomes even more serious. Went to the next doctor, and until she spent everything she had. And then, when there was nothing else she could do, she turned to the King of Glory. And she just said in her mind, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. There's somebody here today who will make contact with the King of Glory. And every form of frustration in your life will go in Jesus' name. Why? Because the King of Glory is also called the way. In John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, when you find yourself in a situation where it looks as if there's no way out, a contact with the King of Glory will show you the way out. Some of you know the story very well of a woman, a very, very wealthy woman, living in one of the towns in the west. Her house is in the very center of the town, far away from any rivers or marshy ground. And she was on the top level of her house one day wanting to eat pounded yam. And just as she was settling down to eat, a frog came from nowhere and landed on the pounded yam. She said, what is this? And so she tried to drive the thing away, and the thing jumped into the bowl of stew. So the woman said, all right, if I won't eat this pounded yam, neither will you, frog. So she took the bowl of pounded yam and slammed it on the bowl of stew and said, you drown in that thing. And when she thought by now the frog must be dead, she opened the bowl and there was no frog. But from that day on, she began to cough. And I mean the kind of cough that when someone is coughing, will also be urinating at the same time. And she did that for 2 continuous years. No sleep day or night. Until she had spent everything she had. And then she heard that we were having a service in the town. And she came. And the Almighty God stepped into her situation. And from that day on, the cough disappeared and she began to sleep very soundly. But then the Lord of hosts, being who he is, decided to show himself. And the demon that was causing her to cough returned to sender. So the one who sent the demon now began to cough. So that one finally came to her and said, I must confess, I'm the one who sent this demon against you. And I know it has no cure. So how did you get your cure? And that woman said, no problem. I gave my life to Jesus. You come. So the two of them now, the one, the victim and the persecutor, are now members of my church. I have good news for somebody here today. All those who have been fighting against you, they will become your helpers. Yeah. And every frustration will end in your life today. Of course, another thing very, very similar to frustration, which is the opposite of glory, is despair. And the woman with the issue of blood at least hasn't given up completely. She was frustrated, all right, but she wanted to make one more move. But the despair is a situation when you have prayed, you have done everything, and there is no result. And you've got to a stage where you say, it's okay, I think I better just settle down with this one. After all, you get some good, you get some bad, you take the two together, and then you stop struggling. And it's a terrible day when a man or a woman surrenders to fate. It's a terrible day when you say, it's okay, I will carry this one till I die. Now, I have good news for somebody here today. Maybe the doctors have told you there's no hope for you. And you have settled that this is what I will go along with. Or situations in your life have seemed to suggest to you that you can never be better than you are. And you have settled into that one. The Almighty God will take you out of that today. When you read John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9, we have an example. of a man by the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says once in a year an angel will come, stir the pool, and the first fellow to jump in after the angel has left will be made whole. This man had been by that pool for 38 years. 38 years. Every year, at the beginning of the year, when they say Happy New Year, he will say, hopefully, maybe this will be my year. And then the year will come, and the year will go, and he will still be where he was. Because each time the angel came and started the pool, before he could get there, somebody would be in before him. And it's only one fellow per year. All his friends who were trying to help at the beginning, after 1 year, 2 years, and this man was, they went about their own business. He was forsaken, he was forgotten. And you know the problem with this kind of situation is that he could not even go home because you don't know when the angel is coming. So he had to be marooned at a spot for 38 solid years. So even when Jesus came to him, when the King of Glory came and said, "Sir, will you be made whole?" He said, "What are you talking about? I've been here 38 years. I have no helper anymore. I've settled down. The Almighty God said, "No, I'm not talking about angels now. I'm talking about the King of Glory himself." And you know, this man who had been expecting a miracle for 38 years got it in a day. And the day started like an ordinary day. He didn't even know what was coming. And I believe God is talking to someone here this morning. The Lord is saying, that thing which you have been praying for, so that thing which you have been expecting, year after year, year after year, at long last, your day has come.
Amen.
Who is the fellow that I'm talking to now? Let me hear you say amen loud and clear. Why? Because the King of Glory, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He is the one who gives hope to the one who has already despaired. Some of you will remember the story of one of my daughters. She's been believing God for a future partner for years. Year after year after year, she prayed, "God, give me a partner. I too want to be married. I want to have my own children." Year after year, until she passed childbearing age. Nobody came. Nobody even said, "How now?" At least if somebody said, "How now?" she would say, "I will go and pray about it." Nobody even came. Not a single fellow. Not even a married man. For her to say, no, I'm not looking for someone who's married. Nobody came. And so one occasion, we were having a program like this, and as we'll likely do before the end of the sermon, of the service, I said everybody should ask for something special from God. Yeah, something special from God. How many times have I been asking? And nothing. So she said to God, "Look, whatever you want to do, if you want to do anything for me, do it. If you don't, I've made up my mind I will serve you to the end. So just over to you. Just do whatever you like." And that's the prayer of someone who's in despair. And the Almighty God took note. He will take note of you today.
Yeah.
A couple of days or so later, a man came and says, "Sister, thus says the Lord, you are to be my wife." She looked at him and said, "Are you crazy? You better go and pray again." No, you are to be my wife. He said, "Listen, you're an African. We know in Africa everybody wants children. I can't bear children anymore. I don't menstruate anymore. I'm already past childbearing. Don't you want children?" The man said, "Praise God, you must be the one." He said, "I already have children, only my wife died. And I want someone who will be a mother to my children. I'm not looking for more children, so definitely you are the one." So they got married. And 9 months later, the one who is already past childbearing age gave birth to a set of twins. Two boys. I have good news for somebody here today. You think you have lost hope? There's hope now. Because the King of Glory is coming into your life. Let me begin to round up by giving the last one that I want to mention, that is the opposite of glory, and that is sorrow. When somebody is sad, he doesn't look up. The elder say, sorrow bows the head of the elder. When someone is sad, it's something glorious in sorrow. And you find an example in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 15. Luke 7, verse 11 to 15. Tells us the story of a widow who had an only son, and the son died. All you need to do is put yourself in the shoes of this woman to know that she must be in the very depth of sorrow. Because she used to know good days. There was the day she got married. That must have been a glorious day in her life. There was the day she had that boy. And everybody rejoiced. Congratulations, you've given birth to a boy. But then the tide turned, and the enemy came and killed her husband. That must have been a day of sorrow. But I'm sure those who came to comfort her said, take it easy now, look at your son. He's a replica of your husband. Let's at least rejoice in that. And then the devil came, saw the house of somebody with 10 children, didn't go there, and went to the house of this widow who had only one son. So the devil lost to torment the defenseless. That's why the King of Glory will come and dwell with you. Amen. And kill the only boy. You could imagine as they were going towards the burial ground, there were people there who were weeping with her. But she was aware that not all those people who are weeping are truly weeping. Because some of them will be saying, are you the only one in town? How come that problems are always coming your way? Your husband died. Now your only son. Maybe there's something you did that God is punishing you for. You know what I'm talking about. You know, some of these comforters are miserable comforters. And she was aware that, well, even if they are pretenders, they will still follow her to the burial ground. But after that, she will return home alone. And then, loneliness of the serious type will begin. But then, the King of Glory met her on the way. Jesus Christ came and said, weep not. And the woman must have wondered, what do you mean, weep not? Why shouldn't I weep? Don't you see the problem, I mean? He said, oh, no, weep not, because I'm about to solve the problem. And he touched the coffin and said to the boy inside, hey, you can't do this to your mother now. Come out. And the boy rose again. And the one who was journeyed to the grave now went back home dancing. There's somebody here today, you will go home dancing. You will go home dancing. Because according to Psalm 16 verse 11, the Bible says that in the presence of the Almighty God, there is the fullness of joy. And his right hand pleasures forevermore. I'll tell you one more story and then I will close. We were having a program like this. Some of you have heard this story before. It's just that I'm telling it for the benefit of those who have not. And it was time to pray, and everybody was praying. And when I said, let's pray, I closed my eyes, because when I was young, they taught me that when I'm praying, I must close my eyes. It's not like modern days when some of you open your eyes. Maybe you want to see Jesus passing by. And when we were young, they said, when you want to pray, you put your hands together, you close your eyes, and you pray. So I was praying and I closed my eyes, and suddenly I heard God say, open your eyes. I almost said to God, but I'm praying. But I know who was speaking. So I opened my eyes, and he showed me a woman in the congregation who was drenched in tears. And said, go and tell her to weep no more. So I went down, tapped the woman by the shoulder. I said, Daddy asked me to tell you, stop weeping. Oh. And you could see the face. I can't forget the day. It was as if the sun came out of the cloud. The face that was so full of sorrow suddenly became radiant with joy. I have good news for somebody here today. In that name that's above every other name, you won't know sorrow again. Apparently, as I was to learn later, this woman had been barren for several years. And the in-laws have told her, if by the end of the year you don't produce for our son, you will leave this house. So it was in the agony of her heart that she was weeping and crying to the Almighty God. And God singled her out and said, go and tell her. So when I told her, she knew that at long last God had heard. At long last, the answer has come. I believe there is somebody God sent me to this place for today. That at long last, God had heard. At long last, the answer will come. If you are the one, say amen. Yeah, about 9 months later, I saw the lady coming to the camp, carrying a baby in her arms. And now it was my turn to weep, and I was weeping for joy. See me, I'm the one who was weeping that day, and God sent you to me to tell me, weep not. Beautiful baby. Everything in your life that could cause shame or reproach, failure or defeat, frustration or despair, or sorrow, will disappear today in Jesus' name. Subject to only one condition. The only condition is that you open the door to the King of Glory to come in. Because when you read Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, Revelation 3 verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door unto me, I will come in. The King of Glory is already here at the door. He's already knocking. Some people have said to me, why must he knock at the door? Why, if he's the Almighty, why doesn't he just kick open the door? I say, it's not an armed robber. He's a gentleman. He will wait for you to invite him in. If you don't open the door to him, he will go away. And if he goes away, he won't come back. He will only come into places where he's invited. He's the Almighty, all right. And of course, if he knocks at your door now and you fail to open the door to him, number one, then you continue with whatever is in your life that is contrary to glory. Because he wants to come in so that he can chase them out. You know, when light comes in, darkness goes. And secondly, if he knocks at your door now and you refuse to open the door to him, then there's no problem. He knows that one day you are going to knock at his own door. And then he won't open. Because whether you like it or not, my brothers and sisters, you are going to leave this world one day. You are going. Several years ago, one musician sang wax a record and said, Chief, so, you will never die. I heard the song, I said, who will he resemble when he says he's not going to die? Where is his father? What about his grandfather? That thing that came for his grandfather is coming for him sooner or later. As a matter of fact, Chief So died 2 weeks later. Why will God not force you to surrender to him? Because he knows that at the end of the day, you have to come and knock at his door. When I was younger, we lived in those houses in the villages that had no doors and no, only one door and no windows. I'm sure you don't know that kind of house, so no problem. But the house is built in such a manner that is very high. If there's any light coming in, it comes in through the little touch room. And there's no windows, so be sure that there's no problem with thieves. And then there's only one door, so that anybody who wants to come in will have to pass through the owner of the house. But there are rooms. Now, anytime I offended my dad, I would run into the room, because the rooms are dark in the afternoon. And I know that if he comes in, I'll be able to dodge. But he's wiser. He doesn't follow me inside. He takes his tool and sits by the door. He knows that sooner or later, something will bring me back out, and he will be waiting at the door. I'm sure some of you know what that something is. The Almighty God is sitting at his own door in heaven. Sooner or later, you are coming. And if you knock at that door, he's going to say to you, I knocked at your door once. You refused to open. Now, you can't come in into my own kingdom. Brethren, you have a choice this morning. The King of Glory is at your door. He's knocking. If you open the door to him, you have a lot of benefits. Anything that is contrary to glory will leave your home, will leave your life. If you reject him, he will leave. He won't force you. There'll be no force at all. But one day, he will play this service back to you in the heavenly video. And we say, I give you an opportunity to surrender your life to me, and you turn me away. And now I have no option other than to say no to you. So I'm going to give those of you who are here this morning, and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, an opportunity to do so before we pray the simple prayers I'm about to pray. So if there's anyone here who will want to say to the King of Glory, come into my life. I've struggled on my own. I have failed. Apart from that, I know I'm surrounded by enemies who don't want me to succeed anyway. So I want you, the Lord of hosts, to become my friend. I want to surrender my life to you. If there's anyone like that, I'd be more than willing to pray for you, for the salvation of your soul, so that the King of Glory can move into your life. Shall we bow our heads, please? Let's bow our heads. So if there's anyone here who will say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want him to forgive all my sins. I want him to become my Lord. I want him to become my Savior. I want him to become my ally. I want him to become my defender, my provider. If there's anyone like that, will you please raise your hand so that I can pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. I can see so many hands. Please keep the hand up. Keep it up. Oh, yes, I can see several people, even in the gallery. Let's do it in a better way. Please come and join me here. Let me pray for you. Come close to me. If you really mean business, come. Come close so that we can talk to God together for the salvation of your soul. Come. This is your day. This is your own day of glory. This is the day when the tide is going to turn for you. This is the day when the enemy will discover that they've lost the battle over you. Come quickly. Come, those of you in the gallery, come down too. Come and join me here. This is your day. This is your day of salvation. The rest of us, please, let's begin to talk to Jesus Christ on behalf of these people. Let's begin to intercede for them that God will have mercy. And the Almighty God who saved our own souls, who saved their souls also, that God will give them a brand new beginning today. Come quickly. Come. This is your day of salvation. I rejoice with you that you are coming. He's knocking at the door, and I thank God that you have decided to open the door to him. Come quickly. Come. I see some of you still coming from the gallery. I'll wait a little longer. I'll let you get here before we pray. Those of you already in front, talk to the Almighty God. Say, I've come to surrender my life to you today. Have mercy on me. Forgive my sins, Lord. Save my soul. Save my soul. Yeah, keep coming. Keep coming. You can spread out. Allow them to spread out so that those who are coming will be able to come in. Please, usher, help them. Don't block the way. God bless you, ushers. Come quickly. Come quickly. There are still many more coming, please. So give room. Give room. Let them spread. Let them spread across. God bless you.
God bless you. Keep on. May the rest of us, please keep on interceding for them. Ask the Almighty God to save their souls. Ask the Almighty God to give them a brand new beginning. Keep coming. Those of you who are still coming, I'll wait a little longer. I see you coming from the gallery too. So keep coming. The rest of us, please, for another 2 minutes, intercede for these people. Pray that the Almighty God will be merciful unto them, that the Savior will save their souls, that this day will mark a new beginning of glory in their lives. Pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. For one more minute, pray for them, because they are still coming. Pray for them. And those of you who are already in front and those who are coming, tell the Almighty God, have mercy on me. Just forgive me, Lord. Save my soul. Save my soul. I will serve you. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Just forgive me. I surrender my life to you. I can't fight the battles of my life alone. Please take over, Lord. Take over. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Save my soul. Save my soul. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. My Father, my God, I want to thank you most sincerely for all your children who have come forward now. I want to thank you because your word says, no man can come unto me except my Father draws him. Thank you for drawing these people. And thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Thank you for knocking at their door. And thank you for allowing them to open the door unto you. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Now, my Father, my God, please remember your promise. You said, whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. These your children have come. Please receive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be merciful unto them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I am praying, Lord God Almighty, that from now on, you will save their souls. You will write their names in the book of life. And anytime they call on you, you will answer them in Jesus' name. And I pray that for the rest of their life, they will serve you. That they will never go back into the world. And anything that is called shame or defeat or failure or anything that is contrary to glory in their lives, Father, flush it out today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let it be well with them, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you, Jesus, the Son of God. I believe in you. I believe in you.
You're watching Redeemer's Network Television.